A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer of the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever who meets me may kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance. And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you notice, in hearing those 16 verses, how many phrases we still hear in popular culture. Am I my brother's keeper? The land of Nod? There's a lot that still comes up and gets woven into our story. In the art buckets, those purple art buckets, you have, and there's more yarn in the very back. I know not everybody is a kinesthetic listener, but if you are, you can take out one of these things of yarn. I made these last night while thinking about this story, and I chose gray for Abel. Abel, whose name means breath, who was a keeper of the sheep and kind of a wanderer around, a tender of the animals. And I picked green for Cain because he was a farmer and he grew crops. And I picked kind of a reddish brown, a maroon, for the land, for the blood that's crying out from the land. And then I tied a knot at one end, because they're all connected in the story. And as much as Cain and Abel, or you and I, would like to pull these things apart and just move on, we can't. They're tied to one another. We can't just snuff out terrible things that happen in the Bible, or in our human history, or in our families, or in our bodies. They remain with us. Trauma is sneaky, and it sticks around. So if you are a tactile person, and you just want to hold this in your hand while we're talking today, while we're praying a little bit later, when you're coming up for communion, if you want to braid these strands together, or just tie a lot of knots in them, for all of the ways that you feel like we have to double down on one another. We don't get to pull apart and be separate, you're welcome to do so. While I was holding this yarn, cutting and tying this yarn last night, I was thinking about all the ways the story shows up in our human history. I was also watching the news and learning a little bit about Armenia and the genocide that is trying to be completed years later there. I was thinking about how many people are having a reaction to the queen's death and the monarchy and the colonization she symbolizes, for better or for worse, and how feelings come out sideways about that. I was thinking about all of the ways that our country, our own young country, has practiced sterilization or extermination or enslavement, not just of people, but of the land, deciding what it can produce, trying to control and obtain and extract as much value as possible from this gift called Earth. And I had a lot of knots tied watching the news and thinking about how often, as a person with a lot of privilege, I want to set some distance between myself and people I don't understand, people who make me mad, people I don't agree with, and that's also a sign and a symptom of my privilege, that sometimes I can trick myself into thinking we don't actually belong to each other. We have nothing in common. This story is a tricky reminder that we do. Cain was found out by God, never really admits what he does, nor does he apologize for it. So he can't repair or reconcile. He would rather die than make it right. And that's what happens so often, right? We would rather die, we would rather suffer, we would rather get small, we would rather be cut off than do the brave and messy work God might be calling us into. That happens when we remember we belong to each other for the sake of the good, not for the sake of production or control or obtaining. I'm going to tell you a retelling of Genesis 4, the way that I live with this story in my body. And you can tie knots or braid or think about what you've been seeing on the news or reconcile with the ways you want to pull away and to say, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm not my brother's keeper. What do you want from me, God? Now, when Adam and Eve knew each other, she conceived and bore a son named Cain. Cain means to produce, to have a sum of things. Cain grew up to be a farmer who cared for the land. His brother Abel, which means breath, watched over the flocks of animals. When the young men made sacrifices to God, Abel's was regarded, but Cain's was not received by God with the same appreciation. And this was deeply disturbing to Cain. While Cain knew how to produce and obtain and control and strive, he did not know how to feel or fail or ask for forgiveness. God's lesser appreciation for his sacrifice was enough to unravel his whole sense of self, his loyalty to kin, his faith in God and his stewardship of the land. You see, when you are named for what you produce, your output can get confused with your identity and your inherent value. Cain internalized God's silence and decided that Abel was the problem. Scripture says that Cain acted out of his mind. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why is your body so angry? your face downcast, your mind keeping score, your spirit justified by fear. Evil lurks where your insecurities fester. Turn away from these things so you can live. But Cain's paranoia outweighed his fear of the Lord, and he lured his brother to the fields and murdered him in a jealous rage. Cain chose being right over and against being in a relationship, even while Abel's blood soaked into the earth. When God asked about Abel, Cain told the Lord, "I'm not responsible for my brother. What does his suffering and death have to do with me?" And God wept. God wept for the brother whose breath and beats were stolen. And God wept for the brother whose breath was wasted on violent apathy and lies. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, can you hear it? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now you're under a curse and driven from the land, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You will toil and wander and struggle to produce in this land because it knows your brother's blood and it knows you are not sorry." Because Cain was unacquainted with confession and empathy, Cain defended his actions and played the victim. His only concern was protecting his own breath and beats from revenge. And so he wandered away from family and farm and faith, marked by the curse of his own insecurity and isolation for generations. Some say he still wanders, seeking salvation without repentance, repair, and reconciliation for the murder of his brother Abel, and that his fear is still breathing, his hatred is still blowing, and violence still swirls in the air in between a blood-soaked earth and heaven's banner above. Friends, on the Sundays that we come together for the meal, like we do today, we always start worship with confession. That's an audacious thing that we do. We walk in the door, maybe even before we greet one another, and we get real and we get right with our Maker. We acknowledge that we have not been able to pull off the kingdom of God on our own out there, that the things that we say we believe, we have trouble putting into practice, that we get our identity and our produce and our yield all mixed up, that we set distance between ourselves and our brother and our neighbor and the land. We do that right away, at the very beginning of worship. It's a radical thing to believe that that matters and changes the way we do everything else that follows. It helps us get right before coming to the table, before turning to our neighbor and sharing peace and saying, "Peace be with you," not the cheap kind, not the keeping the peace kind, because we don't talk about that or we don't go there, but the making peace kind that transforms you and me and the land on which we walk. And then we come forward to this meal where everyone is welcome, where it is Jesus' table, not mine or Bethlehem's. We hold out our empty hands, our blessed hands, and say, "Make me an instrument for your healing. Make me an instrument for your peace. Give me what I need to be helpful to your love." And what do we get in return? We get the body and blood of God, who says, "Too much has been spilled. Too many breaths and beats have been stolen on the terms of hatred and distance and violence and sin. This is different. They cannot have my body. I will give it to you freely and fully as fuel for the kingdom breaking in even now. So take it, just a morsel and a sip, and believe that it is a taste of the feast to come. Put it inside of your body so that you know on a very tangible level that I live in you, that you are the offering that I desire. And go back out into the world strengthened, braver, more humble, open to the opportunities that I will give you to remember you belong to each other for the sake of the good. And while the mark of Cain still roams this world, so does the breath and life of Jesus in you. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.